Good morning to each one. I extend Christian greetings in the name of Jesus to you. It's good to be with you to worship the Lord together this morning. I enjoyed the Sunday school class. I am disappointed that Brother John can't be with us, but hopefully he can be well again soon. He had preached here for me 2 years ago during COVID. I think it was when the church was empty I was scheduled to be here. So he said, well, he would take care of it. And told him would remember that. And if I could ever help him out in this way, that I would be happy to. So it worked out that I could be here this morning. So it's good to be here. So for the message this morning, I've been thinking about the goodness of God. That's what I want to look at here this morning. You can turn your Bibles to Psalm 107. I'm sure we've all heard the phrase, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Sometimes we recite that at bank. So Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." So my burden for the message this morning is that we live in a society where people look out for themselves. I am number one. I am what matters. What matters most is my feelings and my rights. You know, just overall, I'm pretty good. But I want to think about the only way that I can do good is because of the work of Christ in my life. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Of myself, I am nothing. So any good that comes from my life is only because of who he is. So may we allow his love and his mercy, his goodness, his grace to flow through us so that God can receive the glory. I'm going to read Psalm 107. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." "And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebel against the words of God and contemn the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare for a city of habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished, and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it, and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So the goodness of God is only one of his many attributes. The Bible tells us the word good actually means holy, pure, and righteous. Literally, goodness is godliness. Goodness can often be seen in our actions, but our heart also has to be pure. The goodness of Christ is to be demonstrated in our lives every day. The Bible defines God's goodness in two ways. One has to do with his character. The other focuses on his actions. Psalm 119:68 captures both when it says of God, "You're good and you do what is good." Psalm 119:68, "You're good and do good. Teach me your statutes." Good is who God is, what he does, and what we experience on his behalf. God in his goodness is sovereign over every circumstance. He proclaimed each aspect of creation good. God purposefully brings every human life into existence upon the earth, intended for good works to bring glory and honor to his name. God's goodness doesn't come from his doing good, but because he himself is good. Goodness is his character and his nature. A.W. Tozer said it this way, "The goodness of God is infinitely more wonderful than we will ever be able to comprehend." And I find it that way. So as his children, on the other hand, we bear goodness only through God. On our own, we cannot be truly good. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we develop goodness and other spiritual fruit that includes love, joy, peace, kindness, along with faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So even in a tumultuous world filled with pain and despair, God is good. David, who feared Saul would kill him, wrote often with praise about God's goodness, his protection, and provision. In Scripture, God's goodness is described as a rock and refuge. His goodness is compassionate and never fails. Every good thing is given by God, and our response should always be gratitude and thankfulness. Psalm 107:15 that we read says, "Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Apostle James wrote in James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." God is light. 1 John 1:5 says, "In him there is no darkness at all." There is no dark side to God. However, he does allow us to endure the consequences of disobedience and the pain and suffering of a fallen world we live in to affect us. But God cannot be anything but who he is. And he is good. And in his goodness, God chose to save humanity through Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul wrote to Titus. Turn with me to chapter 3 of Titus. Verse 3, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That is how we lived before we came to Christ. The NIV uses the word enslaved. We were enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. All these things have enslaved us, and slaves cannot free themselves. They have no means to free themselves, so they have no hope, which is why the next two reminders are really important. Look with me in verse 4. "But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." The grace of God appeared, which allowed him to lavish his grace and his mercy on us. There is no works that we possibly could have done to free us, because slaves cannot free themselves. Someone else had to do it for them. Paul is telling them and reminding them, let us never forget about the washing, the regeneration, and the renewal. It's kind of easy to forget that. It's good to go back and thank the Lord often for this. Then he says to remind them that we are heirs. That is what God did for us. What is an heir? The dictionary definition of an heir is someone who is legally entitled to the property or rank of another on that person's death. So you're legally entitled to their stuff after their death. So in a family, it's the parents who gather the stuff, and it's the children who inherit their parents' things. In God's kingdom, because of God's grace, Jesus paid the entire price, and we get the inheritance. We're actually co-heirs with him. And we have legal proof of this inheritance. It is the Holy Spirit. It's that same Holy Spirit that did the washing, the renewal, he put a deposit down on us. Ephesians tells us that it guarantees our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. Ephesians 1:13, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." So along with being an heir, there are expectations that go along with being an heir. Verse 8, Titus 3. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." God expects good works from us while we're waiting for his glorious appearing. We had a death in our congregation this past week. The Lord came for Sister Esther May Shank Friday morning. But you and I are still watching and waiting for his return. And in this time that we are waiting, he expects fruit. He planted a tree and he expects good fruit from it. Everyone who has been born of God, everyone who has been washed and regenerated, has been appointed to bear fruit, which God himself customized for each one of us. The Apostle Paul tells us much in the book of Titus about doing good. So I went through and picked out verses that talk about our responsibility to produce good works, to do good as a result of being born again. First one's in Titus 1, verse 16. You don't need to turn to them. I'll move through them here. You may if you like. Titus 1, 16. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. False teachers profess to know God, but deny Him by their works. They say they know God, but their fruit wasn't there. He then says they are unfit for every good work. Next one's Titus 2. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Titus was a model of good works. He was someone who was to be an example. He was to be a pattern of good works. In your teaching, show integrity. Next one I see is in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That word zealous means we are to be passionate for good works. Be eager to do what is good. Titus 3, verse 1, remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Paul is instructing Titus to remind the people to be obedient and to be subject to rulers and authority. They were to speak evil of no one. They were to also avoid quarreling. As Christians, we are to be ready for every good work, ready to do whatever is good. Next one's Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Here we have a reminder that he did not save us because of our good works. Not by works of righteousness on our part, but through his mercy. Through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. They which believed in God, for those who have not believed, they cannot please God. Because the Bible tells us, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Read that in Hebrews 11. Next one's in verse 14. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Now I'd like to look at some ways that we can recognize the goodness of God. I have 8 listed. I'm sure there's many more. First one, we see God's goodness in nature. Genesis 1:31. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God, our Creator, spoke the world into existence. On the sixth day, he proclaimed it very good. Not just as he labeled the other days of creation, but very good. God is unchanging. So if he proclaimed creation very good, then it remains very good now. God is evident in his creation. In every season, in every location across the world, God is intentional in every aspect of nature. And purposefully surrounds us with magnificent reminders of his faithfulness and goodness, both as large as the morning sunrise sky or a large rainbow, and as small and intricate as a blooming flower. God knows that we are forgetful. At least I am. Maybe you're not. So he gives us memorials, reminders of his goodness. And through nature is one way that God reminds us of his love. Second way we can recognize God's goodness is in people. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We were created in God's image to glorify him. He has good plans for us. Those in Christ are called according to his purpose. His purposes draw us and others closer to him. Our mission on this earth is to share the hope we have in Jesus Christ through the gospel. Love God and love your neighbor are the most important commands. The people in our lives are purposefully placed. We were not meant to be alone. The people in our lives are part of God's purpose for our lives. Some are meant to breathe life and love in our lives, and others we're meant to share the hope and the love of Jesus with. All things work together for good, conforms us to the image of Jesus. Romans 8:29. Number three, we see God's goodness in answered prayer. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Answered prayer reminds us of God's goodness. King David wrote in Psalm 34 in reference to a perilous situation he found himself in. His point of view is critical because of God's goodness. Can be found not only when his blessings are obvious, but also when the bottom falls completely out. God's people will suffer, and through that suffering, God remains good. God hears our prayers, and he is moved by the prayers of the righteous. Fourth one I have here is recognize God's goodness in the truth of his word. 1 Timothy 4:4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Daily prayer and time in God's word are crucial if we are to witness and experience the goodness of God. We can pour out our praise and problems. We can lift our anxieties to God and confess our sins daily. These are all privileges of living under the new covenant, forged by the blood of Christ. Christ is the living word of God. The Apostle John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. When we seek him with all our heart, we will find him. His goodness abounds in the truth of his word. Number five, we can see God's goodness in his provision. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So how do we see the providence and provision of God each day? We see it in the way that he sustains us each day. He is faithful to meet our physical needs and love us through people he has placed around us. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, instructed us not to worry. But often we worry over the next day before evening comes. Matthew 6:25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? God knows the number of our days. Even when life is hard, we can trust God to sustain us. God uses the hard things in life to strengthen us and make us more like him. We can trust God's providence, even if his provision doesn't align with our desires. Every breath we breathe is a gift from God. Another day of life, full of his providence and blessing, helps us recognize God daily. Often we take the simple joy of breathing for granted. God, in his goodness, knows every hair on our heads. And at any given time, that number can change. Daily we lose strands here and there, sometimes unnoticed, but not to God. He notices. He is everywhere. He is all-knowing and cares for us deeply enough to know the most finite details of our days. Each day, each breath is evidence of God's goodness. Number 6, recognize God's goodness in His forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness reveals God's goodness daily. Forgiveness was designed by God, who didn't have to forgive humanity for breaking His laws. Laws that were put into place to protect and care for us. He created us in His image. God is self-existent, self-sufficient, eternal, immutable, omnipresent, omniscient, sovereign, infinite, and incomprehensible. Daily we come to God for forgiveness because we fall short. I fall short of the glory of God. In Christ, we're able to come to God and confess our sins. In His goodness and through the sacrifice of His Son, we are able to embrace the gift of forgiveness He has given to us. We can forgive others as He has done for us. Number 7, recognize God's goodness in acts of kindness. Everyday acts of kindness are proof of God's goodness. We are placed purposefully in each other's lives. Nothing good happens apart from the Father. Every good work exists because of Him. He is the one that makes good of all things, even those intended to harm us. Number 8, recognize God's goodness at the cross. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So not only did He die for our benefit, but He died in our place. In the greatest act of love, God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, to earth. Fully God and fully man, Jesus came to earth to die a sacrificial death on the cross by crucifixion. He was innocent, yet died a criminal's death, intentionally for us to carry out the will of His Father. Only He was capable of fulfilling. And the cross is a daily reminder of the goodness of God. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. So what is our response to God's goodness? Our response to His goodness should be praise. Turn with me to Psalm 31. Verses 19 to 24, David praises God for His goodness. Verses 9 to 13, David pours out his heart to God. He is going through a difficulty in life, and he is asking God to help him. He then praises God so completely at the end of the song. That is because David had a deep trust in God, as reflected here in this psalm. And that trust was rewarded with joy. I want to read verses. Let me see here. Start at verse 19. No, let me back up. Verse 14. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies, and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is the goodness which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee, before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. All right, turn with me to Psalm 145, another psalm of praise. Psalm 145. Notice how many times David makes notes of God's faithfulness. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So God pours out his goodness on our lives. Genesis 50, verse 20 says, But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Lamentations 3:22, Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In closing, I want to have a few quotes I want to leave with you. First one is, do not look for evil. Look for the goodness of God all around you. Are you looking for signs of his presence? Many more opportunities will occur for you to bless people and share God's true nature. And that was by Graham Cook. To be grateful is to recognize the love of God in everything he has given us. And he has given us everything. Every breath we draw is a gift of his love. Every moment of existence is a grace, for it brings with it immense graces from him. Gratitude, therefore, takes nothing for granted, is never unresponsive, is constantly awakening to new wonder and to praise of the goodness of God. For the grateful person knows that God is good, not by hearsay, but by experience. And that is what makes all the difference. Thomas Merton. Psalm 107, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. May the Lord add his blessing. Shall we have a song?